full of cinematic garbage. One man will be your filter. Welcome to Movies Worth Seeing with your host, Michael Piccinieri.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today's episode, we're reviewing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, or Doctor Strange 2, depending on how you look at it. Doctor Strange 2's plot involves Doctor Strange teaming up with a mysterious teenage girl from his dreams who can travel across multiverses, to battle multiple threats, including other universe versions of himself, which threaten to wipe out millions across the multiverse. They seek help from Wanda, the Scarlet Witch, and others. So, this film. The funny thing about this film, I feel, is every time I asked other people what they felt, I was always getting the same reaction. So, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I had a lot of concerns going into this movie. Number one, for the life of me, I cannot remember the original Doctor Strange. From what I do remember, it was a very formulaic and typical superhero origin movie. It felt more like it was a movie that was just setting up the possibilities of where the Marvel Cinematic Universe was going as far as time stones and all that time travel shit that would come into play in the Infinity War and Endgame movies. So I wasn't really interested in Doctor Strange for whatever reason. I didn't care that much. And then whenever I would see Doctor Strange in, Infinity War or Endgame or any Avengers movies, I just felt like he was the least interesting character for some reason, for me personally. Nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch. I just felt like the character just wasn't written very interesting. He just kind of felt like Tony Stark, but a less interesting version. Despite all this, the trailer for this film hooked me. And I think it was seeing Sam Raimi as the director. I love Sam Raimi movies. I love Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 from the Tobey Maguire trilogy. Yes, I know the third one kind of dropped off, but those first two movies are fucking amazing. Anyway, Sam Raimi is one of those directors that he has a really unique voice. He has a voice that when you see one of his films, especially older films, like Darkman, Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, those type of movies, the tone. You knew the tone, the flavor that you were going to get with a Sam Raimi film. I don't think this movie really captured his tone, his essence. I feel personally this is just a case of the Disney Marvel machine producing superhero movies where it doesn't maintain or keep the voice of these directors that are involved because everything has to go through the same filter. One of the things that I just kept hearing a lot was, this is going to be different. This is going to be different, man. They're going for more horror, It's going to be dark and atmospheric kind of tone. This isn't going to be a typical superhero movie. And for the life of me, I don't know why I always fall for it. Whenever I hear that crap, I should know straight away it's bullshit. I hate to burst people's bubbles, but this is not a horror film like people were saying. As much as this film did have some dark, at times really dark moments, and a lot of death, there were a few moments where I saw things that don't usually happen in Marvel movies. Some of the deaths in this film were a bit more brutal than what I've seen. So it was good. It was like, but a horror film, this is not. My last kind of concern with this film was whether or not Doctor Strange would be interesting, seeing as this does feel like a Doctor Strange movie. Some have said it feels more like a Wanda, a Scarlet Witch movie. I disagree, but I will get into maybe why those concerns are. I did care about Doctor Strange in this film, so I was invested, so that says something. So this did do something that the original film did not do for me. As a side note, let me just mention a pet peeve I have with all Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Obviously, it's present in this film. It's just like, something I can't stand. When a major threat happens in these films, you're always in your head kind of thinking, shit, man, like, there's 30 fucking superheroes in this universe now that they've developed. Couldn't the hero just call, like, a bunch of them and knock down the villain super easily? Now, obviously, I know that in a movie, it's not going to work, but it just feels weird to me. After you go from films like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, where you've had armies of superheroes fighting against one common enemy, it's quite weird going back to movies where it's just one superhero, one villain, because you kind of feel like maybe this superhero just has too much of a fucking ego, and he could just call a bunch of mates on his phone and get this shit sorted ASAP. Having said that, though, the Multiverse of Madness is really good at not bringing up two massive pet peeves for me personally with Marvel movies. These two pet peeves are not in the film, and I'm so fucking glad they aren't. It felt like refreshing because they weren't. Number one is humor. I feel Marvel films really hammer down the humor. Even at times when things are going really dark, when the stakes are high, superheroes just always manage to pull a one-liner out of their ass, as if they've been saving it for years, like they're comedy writers for a late-night talk show with Jimmy Fallon or Conan O'Brien. In some movies, it's fine, depending on the hero. If it's someone like Deadpool or Spider-Man or, you know, Tony Stark, it does make sense because their character is meant to be immature, brash, you know, arrogant. Maybe not. With Spider-Man, I mean, the dude's young. Like, it makes more sense. But when you see it in every single Marvel movie, you do kind of think to yourself, man, this doesn't feel right. Anyway, that's not a problem here. I think I counted 3 or 4 lame jokes. The rest of the film doesn't really lean into humor, which is fantastic for me. I'd rather the film know tonally what it is. And given that this film is going for a darker tone, it doesn't make sense for there to just be a bunch of one-liners being thrown constantly. It always comes, I feel, at the expense of the villain, because you feel like, okay, the superhero isn't taking the villain seriously at all. If they're just making these stupid jokes, it gives off a sense that they have no faith in going dark. Like, they're worried they'll scare the children out of the cinema. Trust me, guys, these kids can handle dark shit. Kids these days are constantly seeing dark shit on TikTok and Instagram. They see horrible shit all the time. So a Marvel movie is not going to scare them. The other thing that Marvel superhero movies really struggle with, especially when it comes to the lesser known characters, I'm going to put Doctor Strange in that category, they always have a supervillain that is so generic with, like, these really weak backstories. We don't care about the villain because we know the villain has just been set up to be vanquished. Like, their connection to the hero is always so lame and lazy. It's always something like, oh, you know, you have the power and I want the power, or you become the sorcerer, but I was supposed to be the sorcerer and now I want to kill you. It's always something lame, like jealousy or something. The superhero and the villain, you know, they went to school together and maybe they played dodgeball one day and the villain lost the game of dodgeball. So now the fucking villain has vendetta for his whole life. There have been exceptions, though, with these supervillains. I, for one, I feel Black Panther's Killmonger. I felt he was a great villain. I felt he really stood out, actually. And he was one of the few things I really enjoyed about Black Panther. So, getting back, going more in-depth with the plot, I'm going to give a spoiler warning here. All right, you know what? I'll get into the spoilers a little bit later. I'll try and do as much as I can. It's so hard reviewing these films without spoiling shit. I felt the actress playing America Chavez, her character, I don't know why, she reminded me of that character from Seinfeld that refuses to swing her arms when she moves. But I don't know, the actress is like 16, so I mean, power to her for getting this role. She'll obviously get better with more experience. I don't know, she just has the same expression, I felt, in every scene. So, you know, when you've got Benedict Cumberbatch and Elizabeth Olsen that are just, and Rachel McAdams that are like fucking killers, they're killer performers, I felt like she was the one person that was kind of losing me. Also, her character. her character is, she is the person that has the power to travel across multiverses, you know? Her character, her background is so random. Her backstory just feels like something a 12-year-old came up with. We get this, she steps on a memory kind of platform in one of the universes that brings up this whole backstory of her and reminds her of what happened. She lives in this other universe where they wear blue jumpsuits, like as if they're from Fallout 3 or something. She has two mums because, and she gets stung by a bee one day, and that's how she gets her powers. What the fuck was that? Thankfully, her character isn't that involved. She's just like, she's kind of like John Connor in Terminator 2. Like, she's there and her role is significant, but the actual character doesn't really do a lot. Yeah, I feel this movie does a lot of just setting up random plot devices. Like, they'll be like, oh my God, why is this person bad? Because of the Book of Evil. What do we do to beat the Book of Evil? We got to get the Book of Good. Where do we get the Book of Good? Oh my God, the book's gone. Someone burnt the book. What do we do? Oh, we go to the temple where it was originally transcribed from. Like, there's just so many fucking plot devices that aren't really well explained. We get this girl, this character we've never met before who can jump multiverses. She's the savior, the key. We have to protect her, blah, 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 you know, Terminator 2. This film is pretty much Terminator 2, if Terminator 2 had multiverses. So that's not saying it's on that level because, you know, Terminator 2 is one of the greatest films of all time. So I'm not saying it's on that level. I'm just saying its story reminds me of Terminator 2 with similar beats. Yeah. Film has to set up a lot of crap, a lot of rules and laws and whatnot about universes, multiverses, and it can be really hard to follow. By the end of it, you kind of get it, but not really. I felt that way. The villain, spoiler warning. Actually, I don't have to say the villain yet. Ah, fuck it. Scarlet Witch is the villain. Scarlet Witch essentially wants to steal the power of this girl so she can multiverse jump. She wants the power because she wants to go to a multiverse, a universe where she still has her imaginary children that she had in WandaVision. Apparently in WandaVision, I didn't watch WandaVision, so I'm a bit out in the dark. I don't like that as well. I don't like the idea that I had to watch an entire show just to understand what was going on in this movie. Anyway, in WandaVision, she apparently took over this town, kind of was stuck in this imaginary world where she believed she had children and life was all good because she couldn't accept the fact that Vision had died. So the grief from Vision dying was too much for her to bear, so she got lost in this imaginary world that she created, where she essentially took this whole town hostage, which is kind of fucked up. She took this whole town hostage in order to create this fantasy. Yeah, it sounds really fucked up. It is quite dark. Yeah, it's interesting. Wanda constantly is kind of like, oh, you know, Strange, you fucking played around with multiverses and you're a hypocrite, even though it's completely different. Yeah, the film kind of didn't really handle or it overlooked this whole connection. I feel the connection between WandaVision, and this is a complaint I've heard from a few people that actually did watch WandaVision. They said that they weren't connected very well. There seemed to be some kind of mix-up with the stories, I feel. When Strange, like, meets Wanda for the first time, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, look, I know what happened, how you took the town hostage, but I don't care. I'm not here for that. And I'm pretty sure you made it right. How the fuck? I don't know if she made it right. I saw and heard that she didn't make it right in the show, but whatever. Look, I'll say this, man. This was a draining, like, emotionally draining film, I felt. I felt like Everything Everywhere All at Once was harder to review. This is also very hard to review, but I feel like movies nowadays are so draining by the end of it. I legit tried to record the podcast the same night after I watched this, and I couldn't do it. I felt like I ran a fucking marathon or something. I think it's all the damn exposition I had to keep up with to understand what the hell was going on. But for whatever reason, by the time this movie was over, I just felt relieved. I felt like 20 minutes could have been trimmed off the ending. I don't know. I feel like just overall with a lot of films these days, they have this problem where they don't know when to wrap it up and just call it a day and, all right, you can send me home. I sound like the the golfer from Happy Gilmore. He's got his bags packed, man. Just send him home. Send me home. Fuck. Send me home, dude. Like, I know where you're going in that final act. Just get there quicker. Anyway, this isn't even that long of a movie, so I don't know. It felt like it was. And it's not that it's a boring film. I just think there were times where I just wasn't invested. There were moments I feel this could have just been wrapped up sooner. I know where it's going, but for some reason, I'm not enjoying the journey. I think one of the issues for me with this film is I don't feel like Doctor Strange has a clear lesson he needs to learn. They kind of allude to that he needs to face certain fears, confront some things about himself, but I don't feel he's changed by the end of the film, really. I think that he changed more from the ending of No Way Home from Spider-Man. I feel there's two films that, well, this film is just two character arcs that have already happened, but they're just doing it again. Like, there's a lot of similarities to No Way Home in that Doctor Strange has this young kid who's kind of a protege, this younger person who was almost like a, yeah, as I said, a protege. Protege. Fuck, why can't I say protege? They're so innocent and young. They have to look after and mentor and guide them. So Strange has to mentor and guide Peter Parker. That movie has already been made. Wanda, in this film, she needs to learn to confront her grief, but people told me that she learned that lesson in WandaVision, so I was kind of like, okay. So this film's a rehash of two lessons that these characters need to learn that they've already learned. Like, No Way Home and WandaVision have already nailed these character arcs, so it's kind of weird to put both of them together when they've already been solved. Anyway. So, interesting fact, Sam Raimi is a director. I mentioned his voice isn't really in the film, but there are little cameos, certain little Easter eggs for Sam Raimi fans. For example, Sam Raimi's old car from when he made his first Evil Dead movie back in the late 70s, early 80s, around that time. I don't remember the exact year, but anyway, I noticed that car appears in every movie he's directed. So at one point, I noticed the car floating in one of the scenes. Another thing is Bruce Campbell. Sam Raimi loves Bruce Campbell. He's in every fucking movie he makes. So that was like a nice little touch. Themes, and there's certain trends with Sam Raimi movies. Zombies. Anything to do with zombies is always in a Sam Raimi movie, other than the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. The Book of Dead, a bad book, a good book, you know, that's a very Evil Dead kind of reference. So there's little things, little nods here and there. I find it interesting. One thing I find really sweet is Sam Raimi as a director has apparently always wanted to make a Doctor Strange film. There was a little Doctor Strange reference in one of the old Spider-Man movies. Makes me feel as well, you know, talk about a guy that has had a large filmography and has just achieved so much from being an independent film director, making cheap, very low-budget horror movies in his old local town with Bruce Campbell, to now making a huge box office Hollywood blockbuster movie with a superhero character that he's obviously passionate about. I mean, that's awesome. That's great. I guess it's inspiring for anyone that aspires to be like a film director. Like, Sam Raimi is one of those directors I feel would really touch your heart and inspire you. Now, the thing that's really funny, every time I met people that saw this film, they always had the same reaction. And I couldn't really understand it because I don't think this is a meh movie. Like, it's solid, especially for a Marvel Universe movie right now. We're at phase 4 of this cinematic universe. I feel the peak is at an end. Like, No Way Home was in a rare position where they were able to use a fuck ton of fan service and nostalgia. They brought two other actors that had played Spider-Man back. They were able to bring all these villains together in one movie. That was a very unique film that Marvel was able to capitalize on nostalgia. Other than that, I don't find it like really hard for them to pull us back in. Like, power to them. They always manage to be really good at getting people intrigued. For me, I personally thought I was fucking done with superhero movies after No Way Home. I was like, I don't know, Marvel's going to bring me in. I don't know how Marvel's going to bring me in for another film. Then I'm seeing these trailers for Doctor Strange and I was like, wow, you did it, man. You pulled me back. They're never pulling me in with the shows though, man. Like She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, like what the fuck is this shit? I heard that most of the shows are pretty trash, so I'm not bothering. Anyway, I'm not going to lie. I felt really let down with this film's premise with the multiverses. I feel like this film borrowed a lot of old tropes. In the trailer, there's a moment where they're going through the different multiverses, and I was like, oh my God, what are they going to play with? What are we going to see in these other multiverses, you know? That's my whole thing going into this movie is the multiverse. What are we going to see? Are we going to see a universe where they're like, I don't know, they're cartoon, they're anime, I don't know, fucking, they're robots, a universe where they're all assholes to each other, fucking, a universe where, you know, what if the Avengers didn't exist? Those sort of, you know, I had all these questions, like, what, this is going to be an absolute bonkers movie. But, you know, I'm coming off watching Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which was an absolute bonkers movie where they go into different universes where anything could happen. And I just felt like they didn't really do that here, you know? But there's also a lot of stuff that happens with this story that they go in. I don't know. I felt like it was a letdown. Yeah. I just felt like I was going in expecting something and I didn't get it. All right. I think spoiler warning for the 50th time. Actually, do I have to talk about that? I don't think I do. I mean, I could just say this. There's lots of characters that we haven't seen for a long time that are brought back in interesting ways. I personally enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing different characters played by different actors, especially when some of those characters were played by actors or actresses that were absolute dicks and I felt never should have played certain roles. One thing I will say, there's a key moment in this film I totally did not understand at all what had happened. It was actually something quite critical to the story, but because of the way the movie was explaining shit and just dumping exposition everywhere, this moment just went over my head completely. Now I have to fucking go and look it up. What exactly it was, because I don't know. Other things, yeah, that were, I didn't like that. This just, I think overall this movie was just a muddled mess that eventually came to be something. As always with these movies, it ended on a somewhat interesting cliffhanger. It made sense, I guess, at least. It wasn't like Morbius where it just made no fucking sense at all. I was happy to see Rachel McAdams come back as a love interest from the original Doctor Strange. Even though I didn't remember a lot about her from that film, to be honest. I mean, it's Rachel McAdams, so you know she's good. She's obviously a great actress. Is her character really necessary or good in this movie? I mean, it's nice. It was nice to go back and revisit something from the original film. I don't think it needed to be in it, other than to set up that Strange, Doctor Strange is maybe not happy that he missed out on the love of his life. I feel that the villain had a good motive. Actually, no, I didn't think that. What the hell? Where am I going? Did I think of a completely different movie? The villain's motive in this film is completely fucking terrible and weak, but it comes from at least a developed character. So at least the villain is a well-developed character that we know, we're invested in, and we care. It's someone that you feel like, it reaches a point where you're like, okay, this character's too corrupted to come back from this, you know? You reach a point where you go, the hero just should fucking kill this bitch. Yeah, I felt the villain was a threat. And when it came time to wrap things up, I felt like there was a nice moment where not necessarily that the villain was defeated, but she was forced to kind of confront herself in a way, confront her insecurities or the way she mishandled herself. This film dealt with themes like grief, which is interesting because these themes keep coming up. I watched Pig not long ago. You can check out the review on the podcast. Plug, plug, plug. You can also look at my YouTube video analysis, my video review that I did on my YouTube channel at Michael Piccinieri. Having said that, I find it interesting grief keeps coming up because here is another character that mishandles their grief. Only difference is this character has superpowers, so they can destroy the world or enslave humanity in order to escape and avoid confronting their grief, which is pretty full on when you think about it. I guess the main thing for me, is this movie worth seeing for people? As a curiosity, yeah. I mean, like, as a fun movie to switch off, although you mentally have to switch on at times to understand what the fuck is going on. Yeah, I think it was a fun movie. I feel like Everything Everywhere All at Once was a film that dealt with multiverses in a more nuanced and thought-provoking way and more creative. If you could only watch this or Everything Everywhere All at Once, I could 100% be like, yeah, you watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. This film had all the potential with the multiverse concepts and ideas, but it's, I don't know, it's just felt safe to me. I think there were some really beautiful scenes in this film. The imagery, the environments they take you in, the worlds they go to very briefly, but the worlds were fun and vibrant. There were maybe like one or two very quick moments where I kind of felt the CGI was a bit lackluster, but other than that, it's really good. That powers from Scarlet Witch in particular looked phenomenal. Doctor Strange grew on me through this film. I actually felt like I was invested in this movie. I didn't feel like this movie needed other characters from other films to give it that boost either. You know, like similar to when Strange was in Spider-Man No Way Home, I didn't feel like we needed a big superhero to appear somewhere in this film. I think I'd give Doctor Strange a 3.5. Yeah, I'll say a 3.5 out of 5. I feel like it's a fun ride. It may have plot holes everywhere, but if you kind of silence the brain a bit and just go with the flow, it's good. I feel watching WandaVision will give you more insight and you probably will appreciate the film more. Or maybe you'll not like it. Or maybe you'll hate the lack of connection between the two films from what I heard. I feel watching this will maybe, I don't know, you could either really hate this film or really like this film based on what you thought of WandaVision. So to each his own. As far as in the grand scheme of things, it's probably one of the better Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, but it just doesn't have that uniqueness that I was hoping would come from being a Sam Raimi film. If you honestly are a Sam Raimi fan, I don't think this movie is going to give you that vibe that you really want. I honestly feel like other directors could have directed this and it would have been the same. When they were advertising this in the trailers, I was expecting a Raimi film, but I felt disappointed. Having said that, the characters really grew on me by the end. I think there was just one kind of part of the film that really dragged when they went to alternate universes and there was just a bit too much exposition and shit that slowed down the movie. And I felt the pacing of the film was, it was kind of draining, as I mentioned. I think as well, because I was trying to follow all the stupid rules they were setting up, all the multiple plot devices, by the end, good time to be had. If you are not getting superhero fatigue yet and you want to check out a really good movie, then check out The Multiverse of Madness. If you enjoyed, I think it's a fun ride. Don't go in expecting it to be something different or to stray away from the formula, you know. And just as a little recap, let's just fucking boom, boom, boom. So the good felt darker, more atmospheric than the usual Marvel film. It was a Marvel film that didn't have to rely on humor and didn't lose sight of its tone. There was no generic villain, although the justification overall motive did feel weak. But yeah, thanks to a great performance, kind of overshadowed all of that. Some fun action set pieces, great Easter eggs and references for fans of Sam Raimi films. The villain is a threat, which is always kind of tough with these type of superhero movies. And there was some fun fan service. I feel that the ending and the cliffhanger and the overall repercussions from this film will lead to many other fun storylines, but hopefully in movies and not fucking shitty TV shows. I appreciate the marketing for this film as it hooked me despite my lack of investment in Strange as a character. And I'm feeling superhero fatigue, as I'm sure lots of people are, because I mean, that's all fucking I see in film right now is superhero movies and remakes and reboots and sequels. So yeah, it can get a bit much. going through all the bad, I felt a bit let down, disappointed. This film didn't have that charm of a Sam Raimi movie. Too many plot devices. The character America Chavez feels out of place, and she's just kind of useless for most of the film. There was an over-reliance on watching WandaVision to fully grasp what was going on, but others have pointed out this as an issue. Felt a lack of a clear character arc for Strange, and the whole love interest with Rachel McAdams felt a bit flat and unnecessary. So many times I felt lost with this movie, and I pretty much had to turn my fucking brain off to just go with the flow. I felt there was a lack of delivering on the multiverse concept, and the third act dragged, as it does with most Marvel films, in my opinion. Look, guys, if you only could pick out of this film and Everything Everywhere All at Once, I honestly would just go with that. Everything Everywhere All at Once. It had clearer message, clearer lessons to be learnt, and it was just super fucking original. Yeah, so that is moi. I am going to love yous and leave yous now, guys. If you enjoyed the show, please leave me a like. Why am I saying like? You can't like. Yeah, fuck it. I mean, please like the show. If you enjoyed the show, please follow the podcast on Spotify or at Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this, I will be releasing a YouTube video on my YouTube channel at Michael Piccinieri. So yeah, guys, take care.
Thank you for listening to Movies Worth Seeing. Make sure to like and share the show and leave a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting and watch movie reviews, audience reaction videos, and other fun content on our YouTube channel at Michael Piccinieri.